Hello, welcome to Math for Knitters. I'm your host, Laura Neal. It is a beautiful, warm day today, which is good because I have a brand new clothesline out back with my laundry on it, so I'm hoping it dries quickly. This is the 10th episode, and I know that I said that I would have Meg's second interview today, but I don't have it. We are going through it and making sure that it is perfect and clear for you. So that may take me another week. It may take me another 2 weeks. It is on the way. I did not accidentally delete anything this time. So hopefully that will be coming up. But today I do have for you, very exciting, a book review, some discussions of ease, another metered square, the Knit a River project, and some experimentation. So you're going to have to deal with me flipping through the book because I cannot keep my hands off of this fantastic book. It is called Big Girl Knits, 25 Big Bold Projects Shaped for Real Women with Real Curves. Now, if you've seen this book in the store, you've probably had a hard time keeping your hands off of it too, because it is just a gorgeous book. It has a great cover, it has great color in it, the photography in the book is great, and the models all look fabulous, and they're all larger girls. But I think this book would be good for anyone to have, even if you don't consider yourself a large person, or if you do not knit for large people. There's still some great pointers in here about making every pattern your own, and also making any pattern you choose flatter your body the best. So I'm just going to flip through this because I did read the whole thing, but I didn't take notes. So it starts with a great foreword by Wendy Shanker, author of The Fat Girl's Guide to Life. And then chapter one is The Secrets of Big Girl Knitting. And in bold, the third paragraph says, "Here's a news flash about this book. Nothing contained in these pages will make you look skinny, but we can make you look good," which I think is important no matter what size you are. First, they talk about yarn choices and why you might choose a certain yarn for a larger garment. And this could apply even if you were like a size 6, but you wanted to make an oversized coat for yourself, then your yarn choices might be different than if you were going to make a tank top or a small sweater, because the weight of the yarn with some yarns will actually pull the garment down and make it kind of droopy, which may not be what you want. But chapter 2 talks about meet the bees, boobs, belly, and butt. And I don't care how thin you are. I have friends who I consider skinny who still complain about the size of their tummy or about the size of their bottom or whatever. And so if you're in that category, then this book is for you too. And they have these really cute little like symbols for boobs, belly, and butt. And throughout the book, when they have a pattern, they'll put one or two or three symbols with the pattern so that you know which particular part of the body that sweater is most flattering to. So, for instance, a sweater design that could be really flattering for your belly may not be so hot if you have a kind of a larger bottom. So it's just, I thought that was really cute and fun and really good information. If you have big boobs, then you might definitely look at not wearing a turtleneck, which you don't realize until you see it on someone else, that it's just like a square acre of fabric there, and it just makes you look gigantic. So you might choose a different kind of neckline for that. And then it talks about the choices you might make for your shaping for a sweater if you would like to minimize the look of your belly, and also what to do to make sure that your bottom doesn't look like you could serve dinner on it. So really cute stuff, really, really fun book, lots of information, and surprisingly, quite a lot of math. As we get down to it, let me find that page. Really, really, really good. Chapter 3 is a lot of really good information about gauge and ease, although I'm going to talk more about that later, how to choose your size and how to measure yourself, or rather how to measure with a friend or a helper, because as they point out, it's really difficult to get good measurements of multiple places of your body yourself. And that could be either because you tend to fudge it a little bit, which I know I do, or because you can't reach, or because you cannot see if the tape is straight across your back or across your, you know, arm or all the way to the middle of your neck or whatever. And they have a great page here you can photocopy with your measurements. And really, you should think about redoing your measurements, rechecking your own measurements every time you're going to embark on a large-scale project, because there's nothing worse than making a sweater and discovering that it fit the measurements that you took a year ago or 2 years ago or 6 months ago, but it doesn't fit you now. That could be really irritating. So then they break it down into a great... Chapter 4 has a great section about waist shaping. Now, I've talked about waist shaping before, but this is like the book version of what I would have written if I had thought about it, about waist shaping. And it's just great. My only issue reading it was that it is assuming that you're knitting your sweater from the bottom up. So if you're knitting it from the top down, you need to kind of reverse the directions accordingly. But it has all the numbers you need, all the math you need, all the measurements you need to take to figure out your waist shaping, which is great. And then adaptation 2 in chapter 4 is about short row bust shaping, which I've also talked about before. But once again, this would be my book version of it. It's great. It's easy to follow. It has cute little drawings about how a wrap should look and how to take care of the wrap when you're done. It's just fabulous. Really good book. Now about the patterns, not every pattern in the book is my style or something I would wear, but it doesn't have to be. I feel strongly that it has something for everybody. The whole idea is to make them flattering, but they're not just flattering. They also look really fun to knit. I love the color choices. I like the yarn choices. And I think, let me look, they give you enough information about the yarn so that if you wanted to try a different yarn, then you could very easily, which is great. And it's all very thorough and very well done. And there's a pullover chapter, and let me get to the next chapter, a chapter about cardigans, of course, which I think is really nice. And also I'm flipping tanks and tees. Now these really aren't my style, but I know a lot of people like to knit tank tops. And this is a very good all-over kind of pattern for one. There's one called Cherry Bomb, which is really cute. Also, there are actually bottoms in this book. It isn't just sweaters. There's a really cute skirt, kind of an A-line skirt that actually looks like it would be cute on just about anyone. There are these really cute pants. And I know that sounds terrible. I mean, you know, they're on pretty, let's see what kind of needle they've got them on. They have them here on number 8 needles, so it really wouldn't take 1,000 years to make. Now, I think I might actually make some of these to replace. I have this kind of nubbly, yarnish, they're not yarn, but they're woven, but sort of almost a terry cloth texture sweatpant thing that I bought in college that is just starting to dissolve. They're just too old now. So I might make these to be my next lounging around the house in the winter or Saturday pants, because they look really easy and cute. There's a wraparound skirt, a skirt called a Trinity Bay skirt, which is kind of has cables on it and kind of a pocket on the side. A mosaic skirt, which goes with the mosaic sweater. So that's kind of cute. And of course, a carpet bag, which is nice. It's a knitted bag with also a fabric lining. And it has pretty good instructions about that. Some socks. A pretty good basic sock pattern, which I really think works. Making sure socks fit your feet and calves. Stuff you'll need: paper and pencil, measuring tape, 12 to 18 inch ruler, calculator, and your stitch and row gauge. And it has a really nice general formula so that no matter what size you are, no matter what gauge you are, you could make socks that really fit your feet, which I think is great. And I am going to be trying to tackle that a little bit later on, but if you want to jump ahead of the class, as it were, and look at this, this is a very traditional kind of American style sock, which starts at the leg and goes down to the toe. I usually make my socks toe up, and I have a favorite method for that, and I'll share that with you at a later date. And also, I love a lot of the patterns in this book, but my favorite is this gorgeous shawl. It's called Mimosa, and it's a really cute, they call it a wrap, but I'd call it a shawl. It's a really cute, very, very simple lace pattern. And the best part is it's in linen sport weight, in Uriflex linen sport weight yarn. So it would be great as a little summer wrap. And they have these fabulous beads knit in too. So you have lace with beads. I think it just looks so awesome. I can't get over how wonderful that, and or how expensive it would be to make. I think it would be really expensive to make. But also, this is kind of cute. There's a hand gear general pattern, which is like you can choose to make a mitten, you can choose to make a glove, and it has a lot of different sizes that you would want. And it introduces you use circular needles and also double points, but it's nice. And also, of course, another wrap, and I think that's it. And in the very back there is a very, very good index, which is great. To me, a knitting book is only as good as its index. If I want to look up, you know, for instance, if I was like, oh man, I know they said something about gauge, what did they say? I can look that up. Same thing for ease. You know, I just love it. Also, there's in the back, there's a glossary of different articles, fashion and lifestyle books, sewing books, magazine articles, and of course websites, which they have here, Knitty, and then something called Big Girl Knits Online, which I haven't looked at yet, but I'm going to. And they also have a list of different yarn companies and where you can get the yarn that was in the book, which is great. Abbreviations, techniques, acknowledgements, and meet the designers. There are quite a few designers in here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Looks like about 20. It looks like they had a different designer for every pattern, which I think is great because then, say, I look at the Mimosa shawl and I say, man, I just love that pattern. Then I could find out who the designer is and, you know, go see if I can find more of her work. So that's the book. And I guess I should disclose that I did email the publisher and ask for a review copy, which they sent me. And I was thinking of giving it away to one of you, but then I decided to keep it. So sorry. It is a great book though. And if you really can't afford it, because it's not very much. It's $30 and it's a hardcover, nice, you could have it on your coffee table if you felt like, kind of book. If you really can't afford it, I strongly suggest you ask your local library to buy a copy and then you could look at it, because it's just a great reference book for everybody, I think. And especially if you've been frustrated with finding sweaters that are flattering for your figure in the past, or that fit you. And these are sized generally from what I would call a size 12, maybe like a 40-inch or 44-inch chest, up to, let me just pick one at random here, the Sandy cardigan, for instance, the smallest size, and it tells you how much ease is in the garment. So in this particular garment, the actual bust plus 4 inches of ease, and the sizes are large to 3X, although they don't say what that means, which I don't like. So I found something I don't like. But in the lift and separate pattern, which is the one that I looked at very closely because I think I might make this, the smallest chest size is 41 inches and the largest is 53. So that's quite a range there. But what do you do if you fall under 41? Well, you get out your calculator and you get out a piece of paper and you redraw the schematic of the sweater about what the sizes are, and then you fix it. And that's another really good thing about this book. They have schematics with all the measurements for every sweater. So for instance, for the lift and separate sweater, which is a wrap style sweater, they have a little drawing of the back and the different measurements for the back, including the armhole depth and the depth to the bottom of the sweater from the armhole, the sleeve measurements, and the front with the same. It's very detailed, so it would be very, very easy to convert the pattern. And as has been suggested on my website, and as I'm going to do, I am eventually going to walk you through changing the size of a sweater, because, or knitting a sweater in the same size with a different gauge. And in particular, the one I have in mind is my boyfriend wants a sweater with it's a chunkier yarn than the sweater calls for. And so I'm going to have to just do that. I'm going to have to make my gauge swatch and start from scratch and make lots of drawings and figure out how big this sweater is going to be to fit him and to get the patterns to fit right and the collar and everything. So I am going to walk you through that when I do it. I don't know when I'm going to do it. But, okay, the one thing that I felt they slightly glossed over, although they did discuss it, but they did kind of gloss over, was a talk about ease. Now, they do say that when you have a finer gauge of knitting, like say you're using size 4 needles and like a fingering yarn or DK yarn, versus size 10 needles and like a chunky yarn, then the finer gauge will need less ease. And they say it is because the fabric is flowier. And some people have also said that it has to do with the drape of the fabric. I think both of those arguments or discussions are somewhat incomplete. And it just so happens that this week's Knitwit Rantings of a Rabid Knitter, which is show 20, she had a really great discussion about ease and how it works and how she uses kind of a percentage system for her ease. And I thought it was a really good discussion. The only thing I would add to her would be to point out something Elizabeth Zimmerman says about sweaters with a thicker gauge, which is that an easy way to think about it is if you were making a sweater out of a foam mattress and wrapping it around yourself, clearly you would need more foam mattress to wrap around yourself to make it fit you than you would need of, say, a bed sheet. Now, I just threw in the bed sheet thing. But if you think about that, it's the thickness of the yarn and the thickness of the knit fabric that you make will sometimes at certain gauges to make you want to use more ease, which is to give yourself more room between the outside of the sweater and your body. You wouldn't want to knit a sweatshirt kind of thickness at the closeness that you would wear a t-shirt. And in fact, you can prove this in your own closet. If you pull out a t-shirt that you feel fits you, and a hoodie or a sweatshirt or a sweater that you feel fits you, and lay the t-shirt on top of the sweater, I can pretty much guarantee the t-shirt is going to be a lot smaller. Some of that is because you tend to wear the hoodie or the sweatshirt over other clothing, so you need more ease for that. But some of it is the fact that the fabric is a little thicker. So you should scoot on over to Knitwit's site and download episode 20 or subscribe to her in iTunes, because I personally love her podcast. I think she's fun and it's very short, so if you don't have a lot of time, it works. And I'll have a link to her website in the show notes. This week I experimented a little bit and I knit 3 shapes. I'm going to call them shapes because 2 of them were squares and 1 of them was not. And the first 2 I made just on a whim out of some leftover baby yarn I had. And for the first one, it was a garter stitch mitered square where I last week we made it. It's a garter stitch metered square, and pick any odd number you like. Like say, 11, which is what I did because I wanted it to be quick. Cast on 4 times the number of stitches, so you need 44 stitches. And for the first row, you're going to knit to 1 stitch away from the halfway point, which in this case is 11 minus 1 divided by 2, which is 5. So you're going to knit 5 stitches, and then purl 1, and then knit 5 more stitches, and start over. You'll see why in a minute. So we've done that. And then for the next round, since we're making garter stitch in the round, we have to purl. So purl 1 whole round. And then we're going to start decreasing. Now I worked this thing in the round on double pointed needles, and I think this would be an excellent, all of these projects would be an excellent chance to overcome any fear you have about double pointed needles. I know lots of people don't like to use them, but I feel they may not have been given a fair shake. Most projects, when I can use a circular needle, I do, but some projects are just too small or too fiddly, or simply that way at the beginning and at the end, and I think it's really worthwhile to be comfortable with double points. First of all, you may not have liked your double points because they may have been the wrong material for you. Maybe you're someone who would prefer bamboo or wood or metal, but it's worth it to try at least one set of each kind until you find one that you like. And then you can take the ones that you don't like and either do what I do and keep them until you find someone to give them to, or go give them to a charity. Somebody out there wants your needles if you don't want them. Or if you have, most yarn shops that I know of won't accept returned needles unless there's actually something wrong with them. So you want to be careful when you're buying to make sure that you're buying a size or even a length that you don't have, because double points can be 6 inches long or 10 inches long or 5 inches long, or I think 5 or 3 might be the smallest, which is like for glove finger kind of needles, or even for socks, I think. But so please just give them a try. And also, once I usually cast on and knit 1 or 2 rows flat and then join, which I feel gives me just a little more something to hang on to, so I'm not just sliding everywhere. And also, when I have my double points, I like to use 5 total, so 4 to work with and the 5th to use. And I like that because I feel like the angle between the sticks is more comfortable. With when I'm only using 4 double points, I feel like they're constantly kind of sticking me and I've got to kind of work around them, and it's just a hassle. Also, take the time to arrange your double points in the best way for you. Now, for me, I'm a right-handed English style knitter. So for me, if you consider the needle facing you to be needle number 1, and then if you go around, so to the left of that needle is number 2, and to the right of that needle is number 4, I prefer to have the right end of needle number 1 over the left end of needle number 4. Okay? And then on the left end of needle number 1 should be under the right end of needle number 2. So whenever you're looking at a needle, on the right side of that needle should be above the needle next to it, and the left side should be above the needle next to it. Now, that works for me. Sometimes when I'm purling, I like to flip that around so that the right side is lower and the left side is higher. If you knit continental, it may be easier to have it flipped around. But I think for just about anybody, either way could be right, but it's important to be consistent. because otherwise, when you're turning that corner, it could just be too messy for you. I've just found that really helped me a lot when I started doing it that way. So that's how I do it. But basically, for this square, you're going to purl every other round, and every other round you're going to knit until one stitch before the middle, and then do the double decrease we talked about last week, which is slip two knitwise, knit one, then pass the slip stitches over the stitch you just knit. Now, I just made an error because... Wait, is that true? Is that true? Yeah, because on the purl rounds, you're not just going to purl all the way around. On that center stitch, you're going to knit it. And what this does is it gives you a nice raised knit stitch above the garter stitch background. So in other words, for the first... For every odd row, you're going to decrease in the center of each of your four double-pointed needles. For every even row, you're going to purl, and then, except for knitting that center stitch. Now, I said row, I meant round. This is for working in the round. If you've tried to knit this back and forth, you're going to find... I think you're going to find it a little difficult. The only difference would be that as you are knitting back on your even rows, you would knit every stitch except that you would purl in the center, and you would have a seam running down one of the corners, I believe. Yes, one of the corners. Now, if you want to do it that way, feel free. I'm not going to. I used to really have an issue. I used to really hate making garter stitch in the round. But for these squares, it didn't bother me because I liked the way it looked so much. If it bothers you a lot, of course, feel free to knit back and forth and have a seam. But you probably still want to use a circular needle or something that can bend, because it will bend itself into a square ending in the center with, you know, just a few little stitches. What I did with this one is I took it, when it got down to 8 stitches, I just knit 2 together around on the next round, and then broke the yarn and took it through and finished it up that way. So then I tried making a garter stitch 6-point star using the same idea, but decreasing every 4th round instead of every other round, and it didn't work. It was too peaky. It might be a good skirt for a Barbie doll or something. I'm going to try it later with 8 wedges instead of just 6 and see if that makes it flat, because it really is almost flat. It's just not flat. And then I was listening to Brenda Dane's Cast On, and I heard about the Knit a River project. I went to their website, and it says, "Knit a River, the best petition you'll ever knit." And I'll have a link to this on the notes as well. And basically what they're looking for is 15 centimeter by 15 centimeter squares of any kind of blue, of any knitted pattern, of anything, that will be sewn together to form a river, which will be thrown out, I believe. Let's see if it says here exactly. "Join us to demand the end of the struggle for the 1.1 billion people who do not have access to safe water." And it's www.wateraid.org. And I think it says, it doesn't have any more details, and you do have to send it to London. But a piece of knitting that small is very, very, very light, and I think it will be very inexpensive to mail. So I think that will work. And they have a little pattern here for, in an example, using British sizes for double knitting and 4mm needles, which is sort of sport weight, I think, and 6, what we would call a size 6 needle. So what to do? for a little garter stitch swatch. And in case you're wondering, 15 centimeters is about 6 inches. It's just slightly under 6 inches. It's like 5.9 inches. And if you want to know, it's 2.54 centimeters per inch. So if you ever encounter a pattern in centimeters, don't despair. It's very easy to translate one to the other. So I was thinking about this project and how much fun it would be, and I thought, well, I could make the same square I just made, but I'd have to know how big it would be, and I'd have to either guess or do a gauge swatch, which is silly because 6 inches is practically a gauge swatch. And in fact, if you have a blue gauge swatch laying around, I would probably send them this. But so I sat down and I thought, okay, what if I made it from the center out? So for this, also, I strongly recommend 5 double-pointed needles. You're on your own if you don't do it this way. And a crochet hook that's the same size or larger than the needles you're using. I pulled out some stash yarn and number 7s. And what I did is I cast on and this is how I start anything from the center. And I'm no lace knitter, and they have their own methods. But this works really well for me. So I temporarily cast on 4 stitches. And what that does with me is that leaves you a tail of yarn, which is holding what could be live stitches if you pulled them out. But what's fabulous about it is you can just pull on that tail and close up the little hole we're about to make. So cast on those 4 stitches and then knit and purl into the same stitch all the way across, which will give you 8 stitches. Now, I don't use this increase for every project. It's very easy, but it does leave a purl bump after you do it. With this project, I think it works, and I'll explain why in a minute. But so what I did was, I knit those 8, and then I actually, when I'm about to join even a very small piece of circular knitting like this, I hold it up by the working yarn and let it dangle so that I can see what it's doing. But after I've knit those 8 stitches, I then take the other 4 needles and knit 2 stitches onto each one. And that's the thing, I'm going to dangle, because then I can see what direction I'm going in so that I don't accidentally twist it when I join. So I dangle and join. And then, again, I'm going to knit and purl in not every stitch, but the first and the last stitch, which in this case is still every stitch, which will give me 16 stitches. And then I'm going to work one round plain. Now, I said work because you can choose if you're going to do the center part in stockinette or in garter stitch. In this project, I really don't think it matters that much. For some yarns, in some gauges, this is going to cause the center to pucker up a tiny bit. If you did it in garter stitch, it would be flat. Now, I thought about this. I thought, man, that might not be great for every project. But with this one, it might be kind of cute because it might look like a little ripple in the river, in the water. So I kind of like it. So mine's stuck in that stitch till about 2/3 of the way through, and then the last 12 rounds or so are garter stitch, so that it will be easy for whoever has to sew all these things together to sew it. So you work and you work and you work, and meanwhile, in your head, you've estimated what your gauge might be. You know, if you've used this yarn before, you might know. If you have the ball band usually suggests a gauge. So take that gauge and multiply it by 6 inches to see how many stitches you might need on each one of your needles to reach the size that you want, and then divide that by 2. So for me, I was thinking, well, it might be 5 stitches to the inch. So 5 times 6 equals 30. So when I got to 16 stitches, I actually pulled one of the needles out. I know, it's scary. I pulled it out and I set my piece of knitting on a table and I measured my gauge. My gauge was actually 4 stitches to the inch instead of 5, which meant that I was done at 24. So I just had to keep going until I had 24 stitches on each needle, and then I bound off. And I like to do a bind off for this kind of project that's loose, but not too loose. And my normal best bind off is actually a sewn bind off, but I wanted this to be easy to seam, because whoever has to sew all these things together is going to have quite a job. So I took a crochet hook and I just did a single crochet chain all the way around, you know, as a cast off, which I like that cast off a lot. It's really cute for baby stuff. Yeah, it's nice. It's great if you have to pick up stitches off of it, which I don't do very much, but when I need to. And it's a nice bind off. I like it a lot. So that's my new square of the week. I don't know how many of these I'm going to do, but so far I'm having fun making up little squares. And I've talked about my experiment and ease and my book review. So I think I'm done for this week. Have a great week, and I'll have the links on the site up for the Knit a River and for Knitwit, and I hope you have a great time. Happy knitting!